Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friends, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living, so that I can become a reflection of God's love to this world that obviously don't know God for sure and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around. There's a lot of bad news bears out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ and apply it into my daily living so that I can become light in this present darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God making present His kingdom. Not someday, but today and every day. And that is what this show is all about. So glad you could join us. What do you say? We take a time to just kind of breathe, relax, get quiet. You know, we spend so much time running here, running there, doing this, doing that, lost in the noise. The language of God is silence. But why are we so afraid of it? Let us ask God to speak to us today. That's my prayer for you, my prayer for me. Because God's got something He wants to teach you. The question is, are you ready to listen? We are hearing from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Wow. The gospel of the Lord, what a gospel it is, my friends. This is a deep pool. Calling the kids, it's going to be good. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living, and together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today we find ourselves on a high mountain. And through the eyes of Peter, James, and John, we are hearing a description of what can only be termed as unbelievable. The Transfiguration. This dreamlike sequence that appears in all three of the Synoptic Gospels. A turning point in the ministry of Jesus, and clearly a huge moment in the lives of Peter, James, and John. We will see Peter make reference to this moment later on in his second letter when he writes, We ourselves heard the voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Tradition holds that this sacred mountain was Mount Hermon, course, it still stands today, and if you're in the Holy Land, you can visit Mount Hermon. Like I said, it's a big moment. Jesus starts to glow. His face starts to shine like the sun, and his clothes become dazzling white as Matthew tries to capture this moment, but as often is the case, words just fall short. Language fails. Have you ever had that experience where maybe it's a sunrise or a sunset or a full moon or some beautiful mountain bluff and the light is falling just perfectly and everything appears magical and you try to take a picture of what you're looking at and it just never seems to capture the glory. It always seems to fall short. Like I said, this is a real defining moment, and I think it's something that many of us can relate to. Defining moments that go beyond words. And these moments change us, change our perspective. We never look at things quite the same way. Certainly the case in regards to one's faith life. I mean, I think many of us can point to a singular moment in our lives where we seem to have had a personal encounter with God, or what we call a theophany. Theophany is when belief turns to faith. Theophany is when God shows up and all you are told as a child becomes real as God puts his finger on your heart and says, I am and I know exactly who you are. So let's look at this. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain. So right away we got an issue, and we've talked about this issue a time or two in the past. But if you go to the Bible and you go to this verse, you will read, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up high mountain. But for whatever reason, and I'm sure they have the reasons, they decided to leave those three words out, after 6 days. Now, after 6 days kind of begs the question, okay, after 6 days of what? And the answer to that is, well, Peter's confession, which again is another huge moment in the ministry of Jesus. And it's very much connected with our gospel today. Jesus had asked his disciples, who do the people say that I am? And after several possibilities were offered, Peter pipes up and says, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. Like I said, big moment. Peter clearly illuminated. Jesus tells him so. Oh, happy day. But then Jesus starts to show Peter what that's going to look like and begins to describe his upcoming passion. The Son of Man must go to Jerusalem, suffer greatly from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and he will be put to death. But after 3 days, he will be raised, which made zero sense to Peter. How are you going to be the Messiah if you're dead? So he says, God forbid this should ever happen to you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, which, you know, as bad as that is, it gets worse when he says, and if you want to be my disciples, you must pick up your cross and follow me. In other words, you're going to die too. Talk about whiplash. Peter goes from champ to chump. I mean, he goes from the highest of highs as he's personally illuminated by God, theophany, to the lowest of lows, get behind me, Satan. But then again, that's kind of how life is, isn't it? I mean, one moment you're skipping on the highest of mountains, bathing in the glorious sunlight, and then suddenly you're lost in the dark valley. Because life is kind of like flying in an airplane. One moment, it's smooth flying, or what pilots call clean air. Then all of a sudden, you hit turbulence unexpectedly. My friends, in the Christian life, there is no stable air, and that runs contrary to the myth that somehow if you practice the Christian faith, if you do all the right things, if you check all the right boxes, well, then God's going to bless you and bad things will never happen to you. And that is simply not true. as evidenced by not only the lives of the disciples and the early church, but the life of Jesus himself. There are highs and there are lows. And while the lows are tough, and I wouldn't want to wish lows on anybody else, I have found personally that my greatest spiritual awakenings come out of my greatest pain. Because it is often the case that a man is only truly introduced to himself in the darkness. And this is where we find Peter and the others just before our gospel today, in the darkness, full of dread, full of confusion. And then just before our gospel today, Jesus says something very curious. And it's something that has caused great debate among scripture scholars, theologians through the centuries. Amen, I say to you, there are some standing here today who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. What exactly did that mean? Now, some will say he's referring to the destruction of the temple that would come in 70 AD. Others will say, well, he's talking about the profound growth that will soon come to the early church. Others will say he's referring to his own resurrection and ascension. Others will say he's referring to Pentecost. So we don't really know. Maybe it's all of them. But may I suggest the theory of Occam's razor, which is the philosophical principle that the simplest explanation is usually the best one. And the simplest answer to me is what happened 6 days later. And what happens 6 days later is the transfiguration. Coming from the Greek word metamorphia, which translates as your insides coming to your outsides. Imagine that. All your insides coming to your outside. Imagine you're in Walmart one day and everybody's insides came to their outsides. What would that look like? Of course, it would make sense that in the case of Jesus, who is divine, his insides would be pure light. Or as the Gospel of John puts so well, and what came to be through him was life. And this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So Jesus begins to glow. He begins to become transfigured. And soon Moses and Elijah show up, which have profound implications. Starting with the fact that, well, obviously, they're both clearly dead. They've been dead for a very long time. And, well, they're standing there now. They're talking to Jesus, which seems to settle a long-standing argument between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Because, of course, the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Pharisees believed in life after physical death. But the Sadducees, no. They didn't believe that at all. So now you have Moses and Elijah showing up, which clearly shows that there is, in fact, life after death. But that's not all. This gospel, more than most, really gives us an insight into what eternity or heaven must look like. Because we know that eternity exists outside of the realm of time. Metaphysics will talk about the possibility of past, present, and future running concurrently, side by side. And here we have it. Because we have Moses and Elijah, who are clearly from the past, yet they're here today in the present moment talking to Jesus about what? Future events. So we have the past, present, and future running together, which, like I said, is the very definition of eternity. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back, and we will continue to talk about this gospel and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, Jesus starts to glow. He starts to become transfigured. His face begins to shine like the sun, and his clothes become dazzling white. And then Moses and Elijah show up, and this is where Peter pipes up with my mother's favorite line in all of the Bible. She used to tell me growing up that Sister Madaliva at St. Mary's at Notre Dame would always begin her prayers with this line. She would gather together the young women, and she would say, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." And boy, isn't that true? It is good that we are here. This is a good prayer, living in the moment. A wise thing for Peter to have said. And he should have stopped there, but of course, we're talking about Peter, and he just can't help himself. "Lord, if you wish, I will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." This is so Peter. Somehow, in the middle of this most amazing spiritual experience, Peter is busy making plans. Hey, we can make a religion out of this. The word tent here is used is skene, which means altar or tabernacle. So we're not talking some temporary pop-up tent. We're talking about something much more permanent. So in the mind of Peter, he's talking about building a temple and bringing up all the people on top of the mountain. We can get Moses and Elijah to explain all the things that we need to know, and that's the plan. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. And from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now watch this. While he was still speaking, in other words, while he's busy making plans, running his mouth, God interrupts Peter and says, "Zip it, Peter. I got three words for you, buddy. Listen to him." Do we? That's a good question. My friends, if you are looking for a good refrigerator quote, here you go. Listen to him. Now, when the disciples hear this voice, they're terrified. So here's my question. What about you? What about me? Would the voice of God terrify us? Because I don't know, but when you look around the world today, it seems that we have lost the fear of the Lord, which according to the Psalms is the beginning of all wisdom. But I fear we have lost the fear of the Lord. As many of us have reduced God to some kind of good luck charm in disguise, something we can pray to when we need something, or bail us out when we're in trouble, or get mad at when things don't go our way. But terror? Fear? Particularly of judgment? Not so much. But consider this. If the creator of this universe all of a sudden showed up in the middle of your life, how would you react? Would you say, "Oh, well, hello, have a seat. I was just thinking about you." You know, I don't think so. I think that most of us would be terrified. And why would we, be terrified? I'll tell you why. Judgment, that's why. But honestly, we don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about that. But judgment is foundational to humanity. I mean, think about it. Without judgment, there is no right or wrong. Without judgment, there is no good versus evil. Without judgment, a conscience is just not possible. Because judgment defines what is right and what is wrong. Judgment defines what is good and what is evil. And without judgment, neither of those would exist. So judgment is an absolute. But like I said, we don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about that. But truth be told, if judgment showed up in the middle of our lives today, for most of us, the only reaction would be terror. But like I said, we don't live that way. I mean, as a priest, I am often called to the bedside of somebody who is dying. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes, what I find is terror. Because the prospect of death terrifies many of us. And yet death is as natural as being born. It's an absolute. It comes for us all. So maybe it's not the reality of death that brings the terror, but the reality of judgment. Once upon a time, there was a man named Jonathan Edwards. He lived in the 18th century. And he wrote 70 resolutions to live by. He was 19 years old at the time. Now, if you're looking for inspiration, you might want to look this man up, Jonathan Edwards. 70 resolutions. And in his seventh resolution, he writes, "Never do anything which I would be afraid to do if it was the last hour of my life." I mean, think about that. Imagine living that way. Kind of brings it all home, doesn't it? If judgment showed up in the middle of your life today, what would it find you doing? In his ninth resolution, remember there's 70, okay? But in the ninth one he writes, "To think much on all occasions about my own dying." Now this runs completely counter to a world that does everything it can to deny death. We sweep death under the rug. We hide death behind doors of nursing homes and hospital rooms. We live like we're never going to die. Consequently, many of us die like we never lived. But death and the impending judgment is coming for us all. And I'm not trying to be morbid here. I'm just merely pointing out the fact that contemplating your own death and the reality of judgment can have great value in defining how you choose to live your life. If you knew that this was your final hour, how would you live? What would you do? Something to consider. Today in our gospel, God shows up and these disciples are terrified. What about you? What about me? Are we awake to this reality? Or are we like Lazarus, lying in our grave, tied up in the burial bands of our habitual sin in spiritual slumber? Let us never forget that death is coming for all of us. We are going to all have our personal transfiguration. And all of our insides are going to come to our outsides. Every thought, every deed, all that we have done, all that we have failed to do. Standing in front of the one who created us and created us for a purpose. But Jesus came and touched him and said, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. Wow. So what do we learn? How can we apply this into our daily living? Let's break it down. First of all, Jesus becomes transfigured. His insides come to his outsides. And the disciples get a glimpse of not only the reality of Jesus, but the reality of what is yet to come. Moses and Elijah show up and testify to the reality of life after death. A voice from heaven gives the absolute and complete command, encompassing everything, in just three words, listen to him, do we? Then we have the terror that comes from the voice, the reality of judgment. And then finally, we have Jesus who says, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one but Jesus alone, Jesus only. And while Moses brought the Ten Commandments and the judgment that comes with that, and Elijah represents all the prophets and brought the will of the Father, in the end, it's only Jesus. He fulfills the judgment of Moses and the revelation of Elijah. He is our only justifying righteousness. When it comes to judgment, there's only one answer: Jesus only. The rock and foundation of our salvation. Remember the thief on the cross, okay? He wasn't hanging there with his good works. He wasn't hanging there with the illusion that somehow I'm good enough. And as he faced the terror of his judgment, what does he say? Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus only. And what did Jesus say? Today, this day, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus only. Jesus only sanctifies us. We need to come to the understanding that we are powerless over sin. In other words, we cannot not sin, but if we allow Jesus to live inside of us, he can, if we let him. For only his Holy Spirit can sanctify us and renew us and release us from the bondage of our habitual sin. Oh yeah, only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus. So here's a question. When you consider the treasure buried in your field that you would sell all you have to buy, when you think of your pearl of great price, what is it? What do you worship? Is it more important than him? We can sum up this entire lesson today with two words: Jesus only. My friends, we will all stand in judgment someday. And there's really only two reactions to that. Number one, absolute terror. Number two, rise and do not be afraid. Which one will it be for you? Jesus only. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. And remember, if you want a new life, God accepts trade-ins. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.